Last week we felt like the Lord gave us some thoughts about having the mind of Christ, and I want to kind of continue that a little bit this morning. I'm thinking about, last week we spoke about the value of the mind of Christ and how that His thoughts are not our thoughts, and therefore if we don't get a hold of His thoughts, then we're not going to have His thoughts. We're going to have our thoughts. And our thoughts don't lead us where His thoughts do. But I was thinking this morning, I've been meditating for some time on some of these things. We have to have our mind subject to the Lord's mind. We really have to be able and willing to submit ourselves to the mind of Christ. And I was thinking about how that in a battle or in a war, really a big part of it is for the mind. Because if an enemy is enthusiastic and they are energized and they have everything in motion, they're formidable. It's something what an enemy that, now this happens to be on this day, but we know that our country was that way at one time, wasn't it, in a physical way. And they were under bondage and under things that they didn't want to be under. I'm thinking strictly spiritual this morning, but the enemy of our soul knows that for people to be enthusiastic, to be excited, to be full of hope and energy, that's a dangerous thing to the enemy, isn't it? I think about what we have here. When you have five people that are truly all sold out and energized and ready to go, that's a force to be reckoned with this morning. Do you know we have a lot more than five people here this morning? I just want us to think about the battle that's going on, because every war, I suppose, practically, there is always that battle for the mind. The enemy is always trying to see what kind of leaflets he can drop on the enemy to discourage, to try to win that war and win that battle. Because if he can get his enemy discouraged and if he can get them cast down and all of those things, I'll tell you, he can enforce his will on them many times. And so this morning, like we say, we're talking strictly spiritual things here. But folks, the Lord has given us a mind, and He wants it to be given to the Lord, and He wants it to not be under the oppressions of the enemy. Now, I just want us to think a little bit this morning about how that, God wants to give us His mind. He wants to give us His thoughts. But do you know if our mind is so full of our thoughts, of negative thoughts, of discouraging thoughts, of all of those things, do you know that if we have allowed, or if we allow our mind to be beleaguered like that, do you know that we won't have hardly our ability to do anything positive and right and good is greatly hampered? I mean, we may hang on for a while, but I will tell you, the enemy will just badger people to death. And so I want us to think this morning, folks, we have to realize that we are in a battle. We are in a war. We are in a fight. And if we are going to have a mind to do the will of the Lord and to have His mind, we're going to have to unload some things. We're going to have to give them to the Lord. We're going to have to leave some things behind this morning. And so I would love to see every one of us here, full of hope, full of energy. I'm not talking about some spiritualized energy. I'm talking about energy for the Lord. Full of things that that bring about victories for the Lord. I believe there's ground to take. There's things that the Lord wants to do, and it's done when our mind, when we divest our mind of the things that the enemy would be trying to put there to keep us from those good things this morning. So I want us to just think about that a little bit, that the effectiveness that we can have. A foe that is discouraged is much easier to beat. And I just wrote this in my notes. You know, sometimes we just have to slug through it for a while. There are times that we just have to slug through it. There's times that if you're a carpenter and you're framing houses, you just have to walk through the mud for a little bit. But you know, it's not going to be that way forever. It's not going to be that way year-round. But you know, there's times you have to do that. And with our mind and with the things that we have to realize we're in a battle, and we will not allow the enemy to take our ground. I want to look at Judges 4 and 1 to 7 and read a little bit here. I read this one other time here. It says, "And the children of Israel," Judges 4 and 1, "and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." Now, you know, this was a physical battle. This king, it says, had 900 chariots of iron, and he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. I want to just talk to us a little bit this morning about throwing off the yoke of the enemy. Do you know that there comes a time sometimes that we have to set our foot down, and we have to say in the name of the Lord, we have to declare some things, our freedom in the Lord. And I believe the Lord has it for us. I don't think the Lord wants us to be going around all down and all under and all accused and all these things all the time. The Lord wants us to set our foot down somewhere along the way and say, in the name of the Lord, he's going to give me victory in this thing. You know, this morning, there's a lot of work for the Lord that needs to be done, folks. There is a lot. I see souls everywhere, and it matters how we are. It matters, our testimony matters to people. And so this morning, this man had these 900 chariots of iron. I can only imagine they didn't have any hope. There was no hope for them. There wasn't any way. Here this great king was over them and had all of this force, and they had nothing. They had nothing to fight with. They wasn't able to do. And so they realized, what are we going to do? 20 years he mightily oppressed them. Do you know this morning, if the devil oppresses you for a week, it's way too long. It's time sometimes to stop and say, you know what? God has more victory for me than this. And in the name of the Lord, the Lord is going to give me victory. I believe the Lord wants us sometimes to stop and say things like that and let our thoughts begin to be changed from thoughts of defeat, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of the hurt that somebody's done to me, thoughts of the busyness of the world. However the enemy has to do, I want to tell you, we need to realize we are in a battle. And we have to realize that. We have to realize that we're in a battle we can win by the help of the Lord. But we're in a battle that the devil will do everything he can to keep you from winning. He'll throw things. I believe sometimes things happen simply because we have given him place. And he causes something to happen. And then there we are again, down in that molly grub of discouragement again. Folks, there comes a place where you got to set your foot down on the enemy. Now here, these people knew where their help came from. And it says that the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Do you know that when we cry unto the Lord with faith, I believe heaven is moved. Folks, that is where our help comes from this morning. It is time sometimes, it is time all the time, to look to the Lord in faith, believing and knowing that He is God. Cry unto Him. Cry unto Him with all of our heart and ask Him for the deliverance that we need. Cry unto Him and ask Him for the encouragement that we need. But do you know that what the Lord is going to do is He's going to tell you and me to cast out of our mind, to cast out of our life the things that the enemy would oppress us with by His grace and by His power. Now let's look on to how this happened here. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Do you know that when we pray with faith, folks, the Lord says for us to pray with faith. He said, don't let any man think that he's going to receive something if he doesn't pray with faith. That's in James. But the Lord wants us to look up to Him with faith for the deliverances that we need. Hear this mighty oppression for 20 years. We don't have any weapons. They won't let us have any weapons. We don't have any might. Do you know what the Lord said? He said, Deborah, he told her what to do. And she called Barak and she said, you take 10,000 men down here of these two tribes and you go down there and the Lord's going to draw out this thing. Do you know that when we pray with faith, I believe something happens. And folks, there's going to be a battle. And it's not always going to be easy. But the Lord plans for us to have victory in our lives. He does not plan for us to be overwhelmed and swept under. In fact, the Lord wants to do with us just like He's done with His other people through the years. He took those folks in the early New Testament times and changed the world with them. Do you know He wants to use our lives too? Do we believe that? Is that too much for our faith to take in? That God that can speak through a donkey? God that can, Jesus said that, or who was it, said He could raise up children of Abraham out of these stones. The Lord is able to do anything that He wants to do. But folks, we've got to provide Him with something. Sometime we have to set our foot down and say, enough. It's enough. I'm done. Lord, I need Your help. And do you know that when we do that, the help of the Lord comes our way this morning. I wonder why He kept them under. What was this king getting from this? Probably a lot of goods, wasn't he? He was getting a lot of gold. Maybe he was afraid of what they would do if they had their own army and all of those things. Do you know that the enemy, he is afraid of you. Believe that or not, he is afraid of you when you let the Lord have His way and His mind in your life. And so he will do everything he can to oppress or to bring under. I thought about the song. It says, my soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Folks, it's eternal. The battle is more than just what's today. We cannot allow ourselves to be drawn from the skies. We cannot allow the enemy to sink our ship. It says, be on thy guard, my soul. 10,000 foes arise. We know that. But do we have to constantly be under those things? No. Will they attack? Yes, they will. If we're going to win the battle, we're going to have to be willing to fight. There's a fight going on. We're going to have to pluck up some courage. We're going to have to say some things in the name of the Lord. I believe the Lord wants us to do that today. We want to be free. We might have to say it with our mouth. Lord, I want to be free. We want to be free from the oppressive thoughts of the enemy, free from some bitterness that's in our soul, free from some something that wants to oppress our spirit all the time. Do we want to be free from that? I want to tell you, God does not plan for His people to be under oppression. He knows there is an oppressor there. That is why Jesus Christ came. This morning, I just want to encourage us to put our foot down and speak in the name of the Lord. Did not the Lord tell Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot touches, it's going to be yours? Now, when Joshua marched right in there to Jericho, what did he have to do? Did he just put his foot on it and it was his? No. It was a battle. There was something that had to be done. And Joshua didn't have to do anything except exactly what God told him to do. He just marched around it in silence. And then he shouted. And the walls came down. Folks, it is in God. But I want to tell you something. It is in God. He does want you and I to have victory this morning. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle ne'er give o'er. The battle's got high stakes, folks. We can't give it over. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. You know, tomorrow is Independence Day. I was just thinking back. Last year, Rosie and I visited Independence Hall and different places out there and saw the places the men sat and talked and all the things that were done. You know what that day symbolizes? It was a day where they declared something. It really didn't change anything altogether because they were still under the yoke. But they declared to be free from that. Now that's just something physical. But folks, spiritually, God wants us to fight like that. He wants there to be a time that you and I set our foot down and declare some things. I will have what God wants me to have. I will go to heaven. I will be free in the Lord. And then begin to search for it. Can we speak words of faith like that? Can we? Is it true? Or is it just, are we just at the mercy of our enemy? Folks, we're at the mercy of our enemy many times because we don't step forward in the name of the Lord. Because we do not cry unto the Lord with might and with all of our heart. I want to encourage us today. The Lord wants you and I to have victory in our lives. And He has it for us today. Let's look up to Him and realize God has just what He said He had. He has peace and joy and victory and meekness and gentleness and all of those things for our lives. Do we know that the Lord has that for our lives? Can we say, Lord, I know You have that. I thought about the scripture in Joel 3 and 10. I'll just quote part of it. It says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Do you know this is something we can take? And I'm not preaching here physical warfare, but I am spiritual warfare. Folks, let the weak say. I want to encourage us this morning to say it. To say it. Do you know that what we say and what we think on has a big, big impact on what we do? Say, I am strong. I am strong. I am strong in the Lord. He's going to fight my battles, and believe me, He can win, and He will. And what I need to do is get real humble with Him and work with Him. And then I can say, I am strong. That's what the Lord told Paul. Paul wanted, he said he had a thorn in the flesh. So the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he sought the Lord three times for it. And the Lord said, Paul, it'll be okay. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, if we want to be strong in the flesh, if we want to have everything working perfect in the flesh, forget it. It's not necessarily going to happen in this life. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have battles. People are going to do us wrong. Things are going to happen that shouldn't happen. We're going to have financial losses. We're going to have troubles in life. We're going to have physical ailments. But do you know that the Lord wants to give us something more than that? He wants to give us a victory that happens all through our life this morning. But we have to fight for it. We really do. If we sit and worry and think about things all the time, I want to tell you what will happen. It will sidetrack us. And the mind that the Lord has won't happen in us. It will not happen in us because we are taken up with things that crowd out the ability for the Lord to put His thoughts in our heart. Because our thoughts are full of worry. Our thoughts are full of accusation or whatever those things are that the enemy wants to put on us that the Lord doesn't want us to accept this morning. I want to look at Luke 12 and 22. I think about the many things in life that can consume our mind. And it says here, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Now, you know, Jesus is really trying to get something across to our minds here this morning. Read what he says here. He said, consider the ravens. And they don't sow nor reap. And they don't have a storehouse or a barn. But he said, God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Can you add 18 inches to your height? No, and he says, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. So he's given us another illustration. He's wanting to drive a point home. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know what he's telling us here? He said, I want you to consider the lilies. I want you to think about them. I want you to think about them when you're worried. Because, see, these things consume our minds sometimes if we're not careful, can't they? It depends on what station people are at in life as to the battles that they have, different battles for different people. But do you know that the Lord said, don't trouble your mind like that. Don't you know? The Lord made the lilies. I want you to consider those things. I want your mind to think on that, to consider it, that He made the lilies. And that He takes really good care of them. And they're beautiful. And they don't sew. And they don't go out and they don't spin like they make cloth and all. They don't do any of that. And God takes care of them. And He says, I want you to think about that. Consider it. I want you to think about it. See, our minds can be thinking about the wrong things. Discouraging things. Things of fear. And He says, I don't want you to think about those things. Don't be anxious about those things. I want you to think about these things. Because remember, if God made the lilies, didn't he make you too? If they're beautiful, won't he make you beautiful too? I believe he will. I believe he will make every one of us beautiful this morning. He has in mind. He's very creative. When I look, one of the things that often amazes me is when I think about these beautiful flowers. I can't remember which one it is for sure, so I won't say. But they grow without soil. And they grow on the sides of mountains. The orchid is beautiful, isn't it? It's gorgeous. And yet God takes care of it like that. And I think about, I think the Lord would say, I want you to think about that. Now we think, well, there's not much soil around me. Well, God can do it however he wants, can't he? He can do what he wants. And he has in mind for you and me to make our life something that glorifies God. So this morning, let's don't let our mind be taken up with the worries of life. It can happen this morning. Matthew 6 and 33 is another scripture about like this. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for it, the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now he's speaking, if you take this in the context of the scriptures, he tells us plainly to take care of our things. He's not talking about not taking any, not doing our business well. He's talking about not being worried and anxious this morning. I just want to encourage us this morning, whatever our place is, let's don't let maybe it's not this, maybe it's accusations, maybe it's something else. Do you know that the Lord wants us to throw that yoke off? And he wants us to think about things that build our faith. That's what he was telling these people here. You think about this. And he says here, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Tell you what, he says, all these things will be added to you. I'll take care of the rest. Have we not found it to be so? We have, haven't we? But it is a battle many times. You know, we can become unaware of the enemy, of what he's trying to do. I'm going to confess to you, maybe I'm preaching to myself this morning. I had a battle this week. I don't know why. I don't often have that kind of battle. But I had, in that strength of way. But it was just like this thing was big in my mind, and another thing was big in my mind, and another thing, and another thing, and I couldn't get the loose ends of all of them together. And it was just, and you know what? Finally, I came to the place where I said, this is enough. I'm not having any more of this. And I told the devil that. And do you know, this morning, we have to do that sometimes, folks, because I don't care who we are or what we do or how long we've been serving the Lord. We have an enemy that is going to try over and over repeatedly through our life to captivate us, to captivate our minds. Because what it does is it kind of neutralizes, folks. It neutralizes our strength to press forward for the Lord. It neutralizes our ability to be successful in the things of winning the battles for souls and different things like that. The enemy will work like that this morning. And so I just want to encourage us. Hurts are the same way. Folks, hurts might be big. And they may be real. And they may happen. But I want to tell you something. We don't have to let them oppress us. We do not have to let them oppress us this morning. Now they will if we will let them. If we will give them that kind of credit, that our mind thinks about them, and that we think about, yeah, but you don't know what they did, but you don't understand. Do you know that the Lord would tell us the same thing, and there's many scriptures for it. as he just told these people, you know, consider. Consider the fact that you hurt me, that you sinned against me, which is a much greater offense than somebody sinning against you. And do you know that when we consider that, we realize this kind of small. And the Lord tells us we have to forgive from our hearts. Folks, we have to forgive offenses. We cannot hold them. We will find them causing us to do things, to react in ways that we shouldn't react. They will cause us to err in judgment. If we hold things, we have to let water go under the bridge, or we cannot live. We have to allow those things this morning. There's many, many things like that. I want to encourage us to take care of our mind. The Lord wants us to have the mind of Christ, but folks, we've got to take care of our mind, or we won't have the mind of Christ. We've got to take care that things don't get in there and fill it up with whatever it is that wants to be in there. Quit looking at discouraging things. Quit looking at them. You know, the Lord told us, he said, think on these things. Maybe we'll read that after a while, I don't know. But he said, he gave us some good things to think on. He said, I want you to think on these things. Now, if we're not thinking on those things, what are we thinking about? I'm just reasoning with us this morning, folks. We're people. Do you know we slice our effectiveness maybe in half just by letting things bother us all the time? You know, there's decisive victories. And I know I've told many times, but there has been times. I'm not a person that runs around with hurts. I'm not, period. But I will tell you, I've been purposely hurt bad a few times. And folks, sometimes you have to go and pray it through and give it to God until he takes it away. That is our privilege as the people of God. That is our privilege. Do you know there's confusion in the world? Did you know there's religious confusion in the world? Did you know there's hundreds and hundreds of Christian beliefs, many of them opposed to one another? And all kinds of things. Did you know there's confusion? But do you know that we have to put confusion out of our mind? We have to think on the things. The Lord's given us his word. And folks, it's pretty simple stuff. We have to humble our heart and repent of sins and be saved. And then we have to seek him with all of our heart. And we have to be baptized. It's all part of the scripture. Do you know that when we follow that and we allow the Lord to work like that, do you know that he will clear out the cobwebs and work for us? This morning, I was thinking about some more practical issues. I believe this is big, folks. And I believe the Bible bears it out. Get busy. Is that too deep? Get busy. Don't give the devil the time to confuse you all the time. Don't think about those things all the time. If you're saved, hey, folks, that's enough. I can survive on that. I can live for the Lord. Don't let the devil have your mind. Get busy. Get busy in this life if we have to. There's things that need to be done. Folks, there's things that an idle mind. Have we heard something about an idle mind? Anybody? Is it the devil's workshop? Of course it is. For you and for me. Do we realize it? Do we realize we're in a battle? Get your mind busy. Maybe there's some things you can do that are positive, that are good. Now, I know some of that's just practical advice. Some of it's physical. Get busy. Don't sit around and let the enemy have time to constantly beleaguer your mind with whatever it is that it's beleaguered with. Get moving. Sometimes that's a key to the secret, isn't it? Get up and move. And move on. Do something good. Do something right. I believe Scripture bears that out. And You can come to me. I'll find those for you. There's plenty of it in the Scripture. Guard our mind. Folks, the Lord wants our mind to have victory. And when he gives us good things, let's learn to fight. Do you know that the Scripture... I'll turn to that. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. You know, we have heard these Scriptures so many times. But what a blessing they can be to us. Let's start in verse 3. 4. We've heard this so many times. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, folks. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not going to win this with guns. But I'll tell you what. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I looked up that word thought, and I want to research that more yet even. But it says mind, our mind, like. And the other, I think there's 7 places it's used in the New Testament. And 6 of them use the word mind. But you know, the way that we're thinking, the Lord wants to bring that into captivity. He wants to bring our mind into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes that's a fight. Sometimes, like Joshua, we have to put our foot on the ground and declare it in the name of the Lord. And do you know that in spite of all that, they only took, what was it, a third of the land or half or so that they could have taken? The Lord many times, folks, has more land than we take. We take some. We enjoy that. They had their land. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord. They enjoyed that. They went in and inhabited it. And the Lord had so much more they could have taken. So this morning, I want to encourage us to recognize the fight that we're in. We're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to say the words. Let the weak say, I am strong. The Lord's going to strengthen me. I'm going to find that strength. We might have to pray it through. We might have to get somebody to pray with us. But believe me, if you believe it's yours and you really believe it, do you know that we'll go after it and get it? I want to encourage us not to stop. The Israelites left Jericho where the walls came down. And the next place, they got whipped. And they came back. Lord, why? Why couldn't we gain this victory? The Lord had something he wanted taken care of first, didn't he? Oh, Achan, he had a little something under his tent, didn't he? You take care of that, Joshua. Then you go up there and I'll take care of that for you. You know, many times, folks, the Lord, he wants to work with us. The Lord has a lot of work to do. He has a lot of things to happen. And if he can just get us sidetracked, then he's got us out of the way. He don't have to worry about us too much. Just keep their mind boiling with something. Just keep it boiling. Keep them accused. Keep them hurt. Keep them some way confused. Keep them with something on them. And I won't have to worry about them coming after my people. Folks, the Lord has good things that he wants to give us. And I think we need to behold it and see it and believe it and take it. The Lord has that for us. And in the end, he has eternal life. Thank the Lord this morning. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, we're all familiar with all these scriptures pretty much. But listen to this. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Folks, the stakes are high. It's eternal life. We cannot afford not to win. We must fight. We must raise up our shield. We must declare in the name of the Lord, not only for us, but for others' sake. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 26 and 27, Paul said, I therefore so run, Not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. Do you know that Paul sized up the situation? He wasn't going to fight just kind of pecking at it. He wasn't going to just beat a bag. He wasn't just going to hit the air. If he was going to fight, he was going to win. He was going to fight to win. Folks, I believe the Lord wants us to do that this morning. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want to ask us, is your mind part of your body? It is, isn't it? Our mind is part of our body. And Paul said, I fight, not as uncertainly. He said, I bring my body under subjection. Do you know this morning, we have to bring our mind under subjection? We cannot just let it run as it will. Get up and get moving. Don't let the devil catch you. Refuse those things. Say it with your mouth. Speak it and say it. Now, I don't believe in a name it and claim it salvation, but I do in this sense. Folks, I believe the Lord wants us to have victory in our lives. And He wants us to be willing and able to say so. The Lord has given me this, and I will not let the devil have my life. I will not be under his oppression. As these people for 20 years were, they finally decided, hey, we're going to cry to the Lord. I'm tired of this. And you know what? The Lord wants us to do that this morning. In Philippians 4 and 6 to 8, maybe we will read the scripture we mentioned a while ago. Starting in 6, it says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you know that this is a secret that is huge in our lives? He says that in everything, instead of worrying, he says, you by prayer and supplication before God, calling to Him, Lord, I need you. I know that you have this. Say it. Believe it. And cry out to the Lord for it. And He said, let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Do you know that many times when we start thanking God for what we have, it's pretty amazing what we have. All of a sudden, instead of all the dark pictures, we realize, whoa, if the rest of the world had what we have, surely they would be very happy people. Folks, sometimes we need to stop and look and thank God for what we have. It's a good tonic for our soul. It will help us to remain on the firing line and not allow the enemy to take what we have. But he goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those these things. I just want to encourage us this morning, saints, think on these things. Don't let the enemy take your mind and take your effectiveness. And pretty soon we can't even hear the voice of the Lord. We don't know what His mind is because we can't even hear it. Our mind is so full of garbage. The Lord wants us to unload that stuff and believe in the Lord. Believe for His help this morning. We don't have to understand everything in life to be saved. We just need to be saved. We just need to live for the Lord. And little by little, He'll teach us. And He'll begin to unravel the mysteries. And pretty soon it's like, wow, I can't believe I didn't understand that, but now I do. And it'll be one thing after another. We don't have to understand to live for the Lord. We just need to know enough, folks, to serve Him, to obey Him, to be obedient, to be humble, to forgive those that trespass against us, to love those that trespass against us. That's the Bible standard. If we don't get the grace to do that, what we have will disappear. It will evaporate this morning. And so he says, think on things, on these things. Those things, verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. One more verse says in Psalm 56 and 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Do you know that when people are afraid for whatever reason, they can fixate on that? It can be so many different issues in life, so many different things. I'm not just talking about fear, really. But whatever it is, he says here, I will trust in thee. I'll take my mind, I'll take my heart, and I'll turn it to the Lord, away from whatever it is that wants to fixate my mind on something negative, wrong, or something discouraging. And he says, I will trust in thee. I will turn my mind. I will think about the lilies. I will think about the ravens. I will think about good things. And I will do that. And I want to tell you something. When you do that, you do your part. God does His this morning. I want to read the verses to the song Victory. Hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus, full salvation brought. Victory, victory. Let the powers of sin assail. Heaven's grace can never fail. Victory, victory. Verse 2 says, I am trusting in the Lord. I am standing on His word. I think it's number 81. I am standing on His word. Victory, victory. I have peace and joy within since my life is free from sin. Victory, victory. Do you know that the enemy wants to take our peace and joy within? Just by filling and cramming our minds. Folks, we have to put that stuff out. We have to take time. Lord, I need you to help me. We have to put our foot down and resist the devil and draw nigh to God. James gives us a little formula there, doesn't he? And he tells us to humble ourselves before the Lord. And you know what? Victory comes from the Lord that way. I'm trusting in the Lord. I am standing on His word. Victory, victory. I have peace and joy within since my life is free from sin. Verse 3 says, shout your freedom everywhere. Folks, don't wait until you feel everything perfect. Declare it in the name of the Lord. Shout your freedom everywhere. His eternal peace declare. Victory, victory. Let us sing it here below in the face of every foe. Now, you know, the foe wants to come up in our face and it wants to declare itself victory. The foe wants to come up in our face and take our mind and those good things. Victory, victory. We will sing it on that shore when this fleeting life is o'er. Victory, victory. Sing it here, ye ransomed throng. Start the everlasting song. Victory, victory. And then the chorus goes, victory, yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all in all to me. I am convinced that many times we live below our privilege in the Lord. And the Lord doesn't want us to do that this morning. Many times people stay bound in sin even when the Lord has victory for them. But all they look at is their sin. They don't look at the lilies. They don't look at the handiwork of God. They don't look at the power of God and think about those things and meditate on those things. And so they become discouraged. I can't do that. And they give up hope. So this morning, the Lord bless each one of us and keep us encouraged. You pray for me.